All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. It's our seventh week here in our summer mixtape series and been having a great time. How many have been enjoying just this in our June, July time, this series? Amen. Just praying. Different things we've been sharing. So, yeah, I've been enjoying it, too. And look at the person next to you and tell them, I heard you during worship. You were off key just a little bit today. So just tell them there's room to get better in it. All right. It's okay. It's all right. Just messing with you this morning. Well, good to see you. Glad you're here. And man, had a great first service. And just come expecting God to talk to you today. Amen. Amen. And before I get in the message, I had quite the experience on Friday. And I wanted to share it with you because I thought you guys would get a kick out of it as well. And to be honest with you, this was a gift that Bethany gave me on Father's Day. And so I used that gift. And now, don't laugh, fellas, all right, but you know, certainly don't knock until you try it, but got a pedicure done, and go ahead and show that picture, and yeah, you ever seen fruit in a pedicure? I've been having people ask, hey, man, where you get that done at, you know what I mean? So I've never seen fruit, and my one pastor friend on Instagram said, hey, don't eat the fruit, so I didn't eat the fruit, fear not, but man, it was quite the experience, everybody, and so yeah, if you've never had it, I guess the thing I was most surprised about, I told Bethany, is during on social media, is how many guys actually get it done. So I just thought maybe we'd have a bro trip, guys. You know, just me and you. Let's go. So just a joke, all right, everybody. But anyways, quite the experience. I was nearly asleep, and the lady had to wake me up. So it was good, though. Great experience. So anyways, let's get into the message here this morning. And I talked to you last week on just really taking a few weeks and talking about the will of God for our lives. And I spent last week talking to you about the sovereign will of God. But today, just if you're in a place that you've wondered, man, what is God's will for me? Have you ever just wondered, man, what's God's will for my life? What's God's will for my situation, for my job situation, my family, my marriage? And I think it's important that we figure that out. And God desires for us to go on this journey with him so that we can find and discover what it is that God wants to do in and through our lives. Amen, everybody. And so it's important. Psalm chapter 139 in verse 16, kind of our theme for these couple of weeks. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Every moment, everybody say every moment, was laid out before a single day had passed. So I talked on the sovereign will last week of God, and just really what that means is kind of staying in the zone, and talked about the analogy I used was the game of golf, that you want to keep the golf ball on the fairway, not in the high grass and the hazards, right? And so in order to get to the goal, right, everybody? For those who are here last week, all right? And so we want to stay on that fairway, and so last week we talked about how to do that. But today I want to talk to you on another side of God's will for our life, and that's God's moral will. I just touched it last week, but I want to talk more about it here this morning. And this is ultimately where you and I have to make the decision whether we are going to participate with what God wants to do or just continue on the course of what we want to do. How many know that God's plan is a lot better than your and mine plan? Amen, everybody? And so we want to discover that. And so I want to take it really a step further here this morning. And how many would say that maybe you're in this journey right now and trying to kind of trudge through it maybe for some, and you say, man, it's still not working out for me. I still find myself it's just not quite working. Or maybe you've even asked the question, man, what am I doing wrong? I mean, you've ever felt that way. What am I doing wrong? Three of us. Okay, well, maybe, I don't know if the others have went through that. Maybe it's just for me. I don't know. But nonetheless, there's a lot of different means that people will try to figure out God's will and direction, and people will try to read books and magazines. They'll watch more of Dr. Phil for the latest revelation, you know, or maybe go to the local Chinese restaurant hoping for a fortune cookie that's got a great message in it of encouragement, you know what I mean? And or if you like one of my pastor friends, I won't say his name because I don't want to sell him out, but I told him, you know, I'm going to use this because I thought it was hilarious. And I've done this before, but his was a lot more funny than mine. And so where you just kind of open up the Bible and you just kind of open it up and you just point and you just look and hope that scripture's for you. And so he did that twice. And so his one scripture was this, 1 Chronicles 19:4. He pointed, and it said, Hanan seized David's men, shaved their heads, cut off their garments in the middle at the buttocks. He thought, well, that wasn't for me. So he said, I went to the New Testament, pointed at Luke 10:37, and it said, go and do likewise, you know. And so, I think second service got it more than first service this morning. Everybody's like, oh yeah, you know. I thought that was pretty funny. But I want y'all to read this verse with me aloud. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Read this with me. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Come on, read it again with me. There is a way that seems, there you go, but in the end. So I want to just start off talking about, I think, four common mistakes that we make on this journey of trying to find and discover God's will for our life. Four mistakes that I think that many of us, I know I myself have been through in our lives. So I want you to jot this first one down as we get going here this morning. Going to be real practical with this. And first off is that I think a lot of times we hear way too many voices in our lives. That life gets noisy. And we talked last week that if you're listening to the wrong voices in your life, man, it's going to take you further from God's plan and His will. That's why you have to have the right voices in your life. Amen, church? And so for some of us, it's like being at a football stadium. I remember a great football game that I was at many years ago. I'm not an Ohio State fan, by the way, but it was in the backyard in Columbus and where we live. So just want to make that clear. All right. And so, but nonetheless, I was at a great game, and it was Ohio State versus North Carolina State. And it's back when Phillip Rivers was the quarterback of North Carolina State, which, of course, he's now the quarterback in the NFL for the Chargers, the terrible Chargers. So, but nonetheless, great game, great college football game. If you've ever been to a college football game, like, you got to experience it. It's pretty cool, by the way. So anyway, but go to Irish Stadium, not to Ohio State. So anyways, so here they were, gotten this, man, great game all the way through, and went to triple overtime. I mean, it was crazy. And Ohio State had to have a goal line stand in order to stop the two-point conversion because Ohio State had missed theirs previously. So if NC State would have got it, they would have won. But, man, Ohio State had the goal line stand, won the game. 107, 108,000 people screaming their heads off when Ohio State won that game. And it was noisy. I couldn't hear myself talk to my friend. I mean, it was just crazy. And for some of us, it's kind of how life is sometimes. It just gets loud, it gets crazy, and it gets noisy in our life. And sometimes the voices or voice can even be our own if we're not careful. And to try to deter us away from God's will. And so we've got to be very careful. And I think that oftentimes the greatest kind of struggle is between God's will and our will. And so let's surrender completely to His will. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Can I just tell you something that's truth, something that I believe that's very factual, and that is this, that there's a lot of people that don't want God's will. There's a lot of people that really don't want to pursue and do it. What a lot of people want is for God to bless their will. And it just ain't gonna happen that way, everybody, all right? And we have got to trust in God's plan and God's process for our lives. Can you say a good amen? Here's the second thing I think that we do, a common mistake that we have in our life, and that is just simply this, that we don't ask God. And I know that seems kind of like, duh, but it's amazing when you get in situations in life that we don't ask Him. Again, when God is invited into our lives, into a situation, He will show up. And so we want God's will, but we really don't want to involve God in the process of our lives. And so we have kind of what I would call 911 prayers, where we just kind of call on God in the midst of emergencies after we've exhausted other sources. And so we have these 911 prayers when it's hard. And God says this in James 4:2, that you do not have because you do not ask God. I remember a time for Bethany and I a couple years ago with Judah. And he was, I think, maybe 1.5 at the time, and got RSV really, really bad, really scared us. And I remember Bethany and I being in the place of obviously thinking, man, we got to get him into the hospital right now, into the ER. And we're going through all these things and, you know, trying to make sure we're taking care of Ashton and everything. And I remember being in the place where we just kind of looked at each other like, we ought to pray. You know, like, it's probably a good thing that we pray first before we go and get God in on this situation instead of us just trying to figure it out or trying to get, you know, just to the hospital, you know. So everybody say, pray first. So involve God in on the situation first. The Bible says in James 1:5 that if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Here's another one that I think that we do, and that's we give up too early. Or we quit believing, and we just give up and we quit too early. I just encourage you, Don't give up. Hang in there. Whatever it is that you're believing God for today, don't quit too early. Amen? I've seen so many people just right on the other side is the breakthrough, the breaking point of what God's getting ready to do. But how many have ever felt like you've heard God's voice on something and then all of a sudden things go in an opposite direction? Oh my goodness. Like, I feel like that's happened a lot in my life. Like, Lord, I thought. You know, what had happened was, you know what I'm saying? Like what's going on? And I remember our first 3 months of Elevate City. We launched the church, launch is strong, 150 people that first public Sunday 5 years ago, and 10 people gave their hearts to the Lord. And then I remember by week 3, through our great giftings and preaching, we grew the church to 45 people. Yeah, that was encouraging, everybody. I'm telling you, week 3. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say, because pretty much it was all of our team that was in service that day, is commit to build. And that was a hard word, because sometimes we don't want to commit to build, because building's hard. It's sweaty. If you're out in this 90-degree weather working, my heart goes out to every person who works out in this weather. Lord have mercy. It is hot. But it's sweaty. It's not comfortable all of the time. And I'm thankful, though, after that point happened, then just a couple months later, we got kicked out of the school because the school wasn't up to the fire code. And so I still can't figure that one out to this day. But nonetheless, there we were having to believe God for a miracle. And I was freaking out. I just thought, Lord, I've missed it, haven't I? And then I just heard the Lord say, I've not sent you here to fail. Commit to build. Don't give up. And man, I am glad we didn't give up, everybody, because we wouldn't have met each and every amazing person here. Amen, everybody? And so you're always going to have moments to quit. I believe those are character moments, and your response is critical, because God is always way more interested in your character than your comfort. If God has the opportunity to teach us life lessons, I'm telling you, he's going to do it. He desires to develop our character so that we can come into his perfect will for our lives. But don't give up. Don't give up. Everybody say, don't give up. That's why I love this verse this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. Excuse me. And it says this, you need to persevere. Everybody say, you need to persevere. You need to persevere. And it's interesting because I looked up that word persevere this week. And this is literally what the word persevere means. You need to get this. Steadfastness in doing something despite the difficulty or delay in achieving success. So accomplishing God's will is not always going to be easy, but I promise you it'll always be worth it. Amen. And so through difficulty or what may seem like delay, persevere. Keep pushing. Keep moving. Keep believing. Keep trusting God. Keep moving your feet forward. Amen. Regardless of how you're feeling, don't allow your life to be led by feelings. All right. Lead by choices, lead. Feelings follow. Amen. And it goes on. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I've just learned this in the journey, that our timetable is much different than God's timetable. How many know God's got a different wristwatch than you and I do? And we see in terms of earth when God sees in terms of the eternal. And so we have to trust him. Here's a big one that I think that if we're not careful, we can get tripped up on this. And that is that we rely way too much, I think, on logic. On logic. Those who like the pros and cons list that say, man, I can't figure out, so here go the pros and cons list. Can I just tell you, your pros and cons list will keep you from God's will. It'll keep you from God's will and his best for your life, and ultimately putting limits on God and holding him back. Because this is what happens for us, is we allow things that we've went through to determine some things. I want Chad Parker, come on up here and help me. I want to show you something here this morning, that just an illustration I felt like the Lord put on my heart. And y'all give it up for Chad. Come on. Come on, give it up for my man. And so this is what happens. And have you ever heard the saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And so we get caught up in doing the same thing over and over again. And God wants you and I to trust him without any barriers. But here's what happens. And so I was just kind of praying this week. I really felt like this is what the Lord just showed me. For some of us, we have allowed our past and our experiences to limit God. The God who loves and takes pleasure through busting through walls of impossibilities in our life, we allow what's happened to us and the things that have gone on in our lives to all of a sudden put God in this box. Can I tell you something? Don't ever allow past experiences to keep you from believing for greater promises and future promises. I'm going to say it again. Don't ever allow past experiences to keep you from future promises and what God has for your life. And but this is what, and I think sometimes we just unknowingly do this, unintentionally do this, is we have allowed situations or lack of belief to now put God in such a place where he can only move to the extent of our brain. Can I tell you, you need a God bigger than your brain. God, I need a God bigger than me, everybody, because I'm not that smart. And I need God's wisdom and his strength and healing, whatever it is, on my situation in my life. So to just try to limit God to what I know is going to screw me up. It's going to jack me up more when God is saying, man, there's a whole lot more I'd love to do in your life if you'll just believe me, if you'll just trust me. And so what happens is we operate kind of unknowingly, unintentionally, in an insanity kind of world. We're just doing the same thing over and over again. And so that's why you'll meet people with years of regret. Because instead of allowing change to come in their life and taking the parameters off of God, they just stay where they've always been. And their life becomes a tale of what's always been. Can I just tell you, God has way more for your life than what you've currently experienced. Okay, I'm going to say it again. God has way more for your life than what you've currently experienced. Because if not, then he's a liar. But he's not. When God says, behold, I do new things, you know what new is? Things that you've not yet experienced. So I'm not looking for what I experienced 15 years ago to be my next definition of a move of God in my life. Woo. I'll amen myself. It's cool. It's cool. So, but this is what happens. And I'm just telling you, there's a verse I've been giving throughout June and July. And I've just been pushing on you in such a way to get closer to Jesus. This whole summer for us at Elevate City, God just told me, focus on getting us closer and closer, drowning out the noise and the distractions in our life. I'm just telling you, when you get closer to Jesus, I'm just telling you, all of a sudden, man, the stuff that's been holding you back doesn't seem big anymore. I said it a few weeks ago, if you will get lost in the cause of Christ, even though that you haven't found maybe your personal cause and God's will and purpose and destiny yet for your life, but when you get lost into a cause of just serving and making a difference, I promise you, you'll find yours. You'll find yours. So until then, make a difference and continue to serve God with everything that you have. So the scripture I've been sharing over the past few weeks, I'm not trying to get in your head. I'm trying to get this in your spirit so you believe God for more. It says this in Ephesians 3:20. Grab a hold of this. God can do anything. God can do anything. Do you believe it? Like for real, like it's not a fairy tale. Like anything. Everybody shout anything. God can do anything. And think about if God can get his people, us as people, believing that he can do anything. If we believe that, then I'm telling you, we'll be unstoppable. Because we know whether come hell or high water, God is going to see me through this. This too shall pass. Because his word becomes alive on the inside of us. So God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine. So it goes beyond your intellect. Come on, he's a God that wants to go beyond your intellect. All of us that kind of like to analyze things, come on. He wants to go beyond that. He could do ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. And this is where you have to trust the process of God. Where God is molding and shaping character and developing you into the man or woman he desires you to be. He's the potter, we're the clay. So he's fashioning you and what he wants for your life, if you'll let him. God will never force himself on you. So I encourage you, live a life that's always totally, unequivocally surrendered to his will. And declares that God, whatever you want is what I want. Whatever I need, come on, in the midst of my junk, my screw-ups, my mess-ups, I need it. Because, God, I refuse to live my life in a box. I refuse just to allow the next 50, 60, 70, 80, 20, 30 years of my life to just be dictated by what I've known. But I'm going to see you move. So it's time to take off the limits. It's time to allow God, amen, to be God, and not to keep him in such a place, and to fully release the Holy Spirit to breathe and move so that you can move and do and not just have to be stricken into one place. Are y'all with me this morning? And to be free and to believe that God really can do anything. No matter what it is you're believing for, get God in on the equation. I don't care what the doctor report is. Get God in on the equation. Don't care what your checkbook looks like today. Get God in on the equation. Don't care the situation of the job. Get God in on the situation. Y'all with me this morning? And I'm just telling you, take the limits off of God. Believe him. Everybody shout, take the limits off. Take the limits off. And that's what we do. And so if you don't remember nothing else from this message, I hope you remember that. Because I want that to be a visual that you remember. Man, I'm going to take the limits off because I know my God can do anything. You know, I love Chad because, man, God is a God that's doing some incredible, audacious things in his life. Because he just made this step, not even a year ago, September last year, we're in At the Movie series. How many of y'all remember that series? It's coming again, by the way. I know many people have been asking, when are we doing it again? It's coming. We're going to give you more details. His brother invited him to church that Sunday. And he didn't mind that I share this. And that Sunday he came, man, he gave his heart to Jesus. And I've watched this man of God, man, just dive in. This ain't the same Chad. I'm telling you. So he got saved, yeah. Glory to God, amen. Gave his heart to Jesus, got baptized. He said, I'm going to do everything you tell me to do, Pastor. Went in growth track, got in small group, went in men's freedom. And I'm just telling you, yesterday, you know where he was at? Saturday morning prayer, and at the end of it, I asked him if this was okay too. Just tears streaming down his face, and we just hugged each other, and he just said, Pastor, I'm not the same guy anymore. I no longer want the things I used to. I am going after God with everything within me. Come on, give him a hand as he has his seat, man. I'm proud of you. Love you. Love you. How many thank God for changed lives? Amen. Logic will keep you from receiving miracles in your life. He's a God that specializes in signs and wonders and miracles. I don't know about y'all, but I don't just want to talk about it. I want to see it. Amen, everybody? All right? Let's see it. And so serve God with everything. Let's go after him. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. And they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach them? But we understand these things. This is a word for somebody right here. Read it with me. For we have the mind of Christ. If your mind has been wreaking havoc, you can't sleep, declare today, I have the mind of Christ. My sleep is going to be sweet. I'm going to be restful in Jesus' name. Can I tell you, because you are a child of the King, royal blood flows through you. Remember who you are, but remember whose you are. Amen, everybody? It's important. I'll never forget, logic almost kept us from moving into God's purpose for our life. Kind of. I'll never forget. I've never told this story before. I didn't realize it till this week. I told Bethany just this morning, hey, I'm sharing this. And before we moved to Fort Wayne, we had multiple meetings with a church in Columbus and pastors there to take over. They wanted us to take over a church. And doing church is great, thriving. Logic was screaming, saying, boy, this is comfy. You don't have to move your family. You ain't got to sacrifice nothing. Just take this job and all will be well. And as they're talking to me, though, about it, and it was a great plan. I mean, Bethany will tell you. I mean, we were going to be set up well, and God was taking care of us in that way. And I'll never forget, though, as they're talking, in my spirit, all I heard was Fort Wayne, Fort Wayne, Fort Wayne, Fort Wayne. And we had another conversation I'll never forget. And then again in my spirit, man, I don't want Columbus. I want Fort Wayne. And just in my spirit, though, logic would have told us, stay put. Does it make sense financially? We had people tell us we were out of our minds. I quit my job. Bethany was my sugar mama for a season, y'all. Proud of it. Pursuing the dream, baby. All right, had a goal in mind. All right, just so we know. But I'm just telling you, logic could have kept us there. And miss out on this? No thanks. I'm so glad.
man, that even in the midst of it, that's where when you are discovering and wanting God's will, lean in to your relationship with Jesus. Lean in to his voice. Come on, is it quiet enough in your life where you're hearing his voice? Because if it's not quiet enough and he's having to yell at you, you're not close enough to him. Everybody say, let's get closer. So let's get closer. So don't ever, write this down. Don't ever let how, because logic was telling Bethany and I to stay. Never come plant. We didn't know. We didn't have the money to do it. We literally emptied our bank account to just get us moved here. We had no idea how anything was going to happen. Don't ever let how keep you from pursuing what God has called you to do. A lot of people that live, what I kind of say, in the land of regrets, spend their lives wondering how and never get to what. Can I just challenge you to never do that? Regardless of what God has called you to, how big or small it is, don't let how keep you from pursuing what God has called you to do. It's not always going to line up. That's the God factor, where God steps in and moves on your behalf, because he can do anything. Y'all getting this morning? So let's get on the right track. Number one, if we're going to do this and continue to discover in God's will, is you've got to eliminate distractions in your life. For some of us, we may need to repent and turn from sin. We need to remove some of those voices that are clouding vision. Love Hebrews 12. Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with, there's that word again, perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Perseverance. The race marked out for us. And throughout these 2 months, we've talked a lot about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Say, man, how do I shut down the distractions? For some of us, we need some alone time with God. For some, maybe it's a fasting time. And when we fast, it's maybe media, maybe food, whatever. But when we do that, we're shutting down the distractions of the world to pursue God in our life. Amen, everybody? Devoting your life to prayer and taking some time away. James 10 says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. Love this verse. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Some say sheep are dumb. I say sheep are smart because they know the voice. Amen? Do you know the voice? Can you hear his voice? Are you close enough today? Number two, seek God. Man, with everything within you. Not just part of you, your whole heart. God isn't a 1-800 number that you can call. Right, everybody? We must seek him. Pursue after him. James 29:13. Seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Can I tell you something? That Christianity doesn't even work 99% of the time. It only works when you seek Jesus. This life's only going to make sense when you seek Jesus. Well, so how do you do that? Well, Jesus doesn't want to be your religion. He wants to be in a relationship with you, not just Sunday, but the rest of the week as well. Amen, church? He wants that closeness, that relationship with you. And get in that relationship. Love him more. Serve him. Come on, pray. Get in the Word. Get on the Bible app, or go on our app as a church. We got the Bible on there. Start in Proverbs. Start in the book of John. Just get the Word in your life. Pray. I love prayer, because prayer doesn't just change the things I'm praying for. It changes me. That's prayer. Amen? Worshiping God, giving him the praise and the worship that's due. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That word delight in the Hebrew literally means to adorn yourself as a bride does on her wedding day. I like that. I knew the ladies would appreciate that, but guys, we can appreciate that too. Amen? So God isn't going to give you what you want. He's going to give you the want to do what he wants for your life. That's what God's going to do. He's going to give you that desire. So when God speaks to you, and he will, then you must, number three, trust God. And this, again, is very hard for some of us, and some of us in different seasons or journeys in our life. But the Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Everybody say, all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. It's a challenge. It's a challenge as we discover and work in God's will into our lives, because most of God's wisdom for our life seems backward. It seems like sometimes, Lord, this just doesn't make sense. Wherever you're at, trust in the process. Trust in what God is doing Now, I'll never forget being by vocation and living in Columbus, doing ministry, but working a full-time job outside of the church and ministry. Yeah, trust me, I wanted to be full-time all the time, but that wasn't my season, and that wasn't God's will for me in that season. What God's will was for me is to work in an environment and then also do ministry as well and learn how to manage that well. And starting in youth ministry, and then a college-age pastor, then an associate pastor, all of that was part of God's will to allow me to be able to grow into who I needed to be. I wasn't ready 15 years ago to be a senior pastor. I never thought, never still feel I'm ready, but thank God for his grace and what he sees that we don't. Amen, everybody? So wherever you're at is wherever God wants you to be. You've just got to trust in the process of God. And many people want the process to be done with as quick as possible. But I promise you, if you will change your perspective and say, God, what is it that you're trying to show me in this process and embrace it, I'm telling you, it can speed up the process for your life. And again, God's not going to force himself on. I'm just trying to help us with character, everybody, and what God's trying to work and do in us. This is a deep work that he's trying to do. Amen? And so when God, he'll call you to things and do something bigger than you. And those are fun but can be kind of scary moments. And have you ever noticed that God will call us to do something but not have the provision for it right yet? Like, we've got great vision. We've got, at our church here at Elevate City, we got more vision than we got resources. And we just got a lot of vision here. And seeing a dream center, seeing our next campus in Fort Wayne and our next jail campus happen in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. And that's one we're working on right now is our jail campus and putting teams together for our men and our women in the correctional facility. Why? So they can have a church to call home right there in the prison. And then when they get out, they can have a church to call home. Come on, somebody. That's why our freedom groups, all these ministries, that's why we need more leaders, everybody, to rise up. This is big vision. This ain't my show. This is God's work. Amen? So each and every one of us have the gifts and the amazing opportunity to go and make a difference. And so we just see the city that God sees and to go in and to invest and to see lives change. And that's where we're at. And so, but a true vision always comes, it requires that faith element to happen. And so God will call you to do things sometimes. Doesn't always make sense, but follow his voice. Follow his leading. I think about our teams that were out and serving. How many know serve day was amazing? But it's real cute if you only do that once a year. Like, rah, rah. But it means a lot more if you do it consistently. So for those that don't know what I'm talking about, last weekend we had over 200 people serve. We had 16, 17 different projects in our city, and we do that a big serve day once a year, which is great. But if we didn't have anything else happening through the weeks, that wouldn't mean a whole lot. But it means a whole lot more when we're doing that every week. And the church said a good amen, all right? All right? And so aren't you thankful for a church that just doesn't do that, you know? And that's not a knock on anybody. We're just put it within our hearts. God has that. We have got to get busy in the streets of our city and not just have church on Sunday and that's it. You want to talk about a move of God? A move of God is when we're seeing things like what we saw happen this week. Show this picture. I want you guys to see this because we just came off serve day, and this happened Wednesday night. So this is some of our good-looking team, and that's not even all of them, but that's some of our team that was down there Wednesday night. And then, oh, by the way, they served over 200 people homeless and touched them, prayed for them for the glory of God. Can I tell you, that's what the church looks like right there in action, y'all. Come on, amen, everybody? It's awesome. So we can't be afraid to go. Can't be afraid. And so I'm so proud of these guys and other teams, you all that are doing things through the week. I'm telling you, you're being the hands and feet of Jesus. For some, maybe God may be calling you to start that new small group this fall or that new ministry or to serve in the areas of need within your job or your workplace or school. For some, God may be calling you to even give more financially. Trust him. So my two questions would be today for you to think about is, where do you need to trust God? What area of your life do you need to lean in and trust him today? And where is God maybe asking you to do something big? And then here's the fourth and final thing we're going to pray, and that is follow peace. In any and every decision that I ever make, I never move a step forward without that peace in my life. And I know what that peace is not like because I have that, kind of checking my spirit. I don't know how to describe it, except it's just. That's not really how it sounds. I don't know. It's just trying to describe it to you the way I just kind of, it's a check. And that's God looking out for us. And I don't move forward, though, without that peace. Listen, the world can't give you peace. The devil certainly won't give you peace. Only God can give you that peace. Amen? So I wanted to close service today with this scripture, but I wanted to read it in two different versions because I think it's powerful. And it says this in Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, love this, which goes beyond your intellect and your understanding, guards your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. And then I saw it in the message, and I thought this was pretty cool. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Boy, I like that. You ought to underline that. That's good. Letting God know your concerns before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. And the church said a good amen. Amen. Come on, let me pray over you. Just bow your heads where you're at. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And God, I'm thankful today because I realize that some here today are facing big decisions in their life. Some of us need to discover your will and your direction for our jobs. For somebody, it's a marriage. For somebody, it's maybe money and finances. For another person, it may be their family. For somebody else, it may just be their spiritual walk and their journey. Father, I just pray today that the peace of God would now move upon every situation. That God, that we would not move, God, without first being moved by you. And that God, that we choose to trust you. And can I just encourage as you keep your heads bowed, as we're just in this moment of prayer, just to ask God, Lord, where do I need to trust you? Some of you already maybe know it, but maybe ask God. And I just encourage you right now, just say, God, I just invite you in my life. Maybe it's a situation that you just say, God, I need to invite you in on my job right now. Lord, you know exactly what's going on. You know the tireless hours, or you know the pressure that's happening. Come on, just call on him right now in this, come on, this atmosphere of prayer. I just encourage you. Open up your mouth and say, God, I just need you. Come on, could you tell him that, all of us, church? Say, God, I need you. Come on, God, I invite you in my life. Come on, this is exactly what prayer looks like. This is what getting closer to God looks like. Is declaring God's will over our will. We need you. We need the voice of the Holy Spirit. God, we need the activity of your Spirit in our lives and through every situation and everything that's in front of us, going around us. But God, we declare you're greater. You're stronger. God, you're wiser. So help us, God, to now lean in our relationship with you. God, to fulfill whatever it is, God, for each and every person for our lives. And God, and I just pray even right now, over every person, the distractions that's been keeping us from your voice, that God, today, that you would help us make the course correction to follow after the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I just declare whatever is keeping us, God, from you, God, that you would show us and that we would apply it today and make the decisions, God, to run after you with all of our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. So, God, I just declare your will be done. Somebody just needs to say that over your situation. Whatever doctor report came in, your will be done. Over your finances, God, your will be done. Come on, in the job, your will. My family, my marriage, God, your will is going to prevail in the name of Jesus. Just keep your head bowed. I always want to just give an opportunity here. If you don't have Jesus in your life, if he's not Lord of all, man, you can make him Lord of all today. Maybe you've realized, man, I've been doing this thing without him. And I realize how much I need him. I believe Jesus is everything you've been searching for. Maybe you've tried to go to people or things and you're constantly seeing yourself being let down. I'm telling you and I promise you, Jesus will never let you down. Maybe you're here today and you had a relationship with God and just found yourself not pursuing God like you need to. And you say, man, I need to make a fresh start. A fresh commitment with God. I'm talking to you too. So here in just a second, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands. Come on, with boldness. Forget about who's on your right and left. Just say, man, that's me. And we're all going to pray a prayer together. But come on, if you mean it, I want you to raise your hand in just a moment and just say, man, I want to pray that prayer with you, Kyle. I want to join in prayer with you today. Come on, in the count of three, Be honest with God. Here we go, and don't worry about who's next to you. One, two, three. Say, man, that's me. Hand high. There you go. Yep, yep. Come on, who else? Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Come on, several hands. Awesome, awesome. Yeah. Yeah, you can put your hands up. Gotcha, man. Proud of you. Praise God. Yeah, yeah. Praise God. All right, for those that raise your hand, listen, we're all going to pray this prayer together. Just say this prayer with us as well. Mean it from your heart. All right? Come on, church, let's pray with them. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. My heart belongs to you. I repent of my sins today. I turn from those things. And I pursue after you. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for loving me the way that you do. I declare I'm pursuing your will and not my will. Jesus, I love you. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a great big hand.